Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 225, the three stanzas. How dear to me, O Lord of hosts, the place where thou dost dwell, the tabernacles of thy grace in pleasantness excel. And what follows, Psalter 225, the three stanzas. portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 27. And afterwards from the Confession of Faith, Article 19. Psalm 27, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not. Neither forsake me, O God, of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. From the Confession of Faith, as you can find it on page 13, in the back of the Psalter, Article 19, the union and distinction of the two natures in the person of Christ. We believe that by this conception, The person of the Son is inseparably united and connected with the human nature, so that there are not two sons of God, nor two persons, but two natures united in one single person, yet that each nature retains its own distinct properties. As then the divine nature hath always remained uncreated, without beginning of days or end of life, filling heaven and earth, so also hath the human nature not lost its properties, but remained a creature, having beginning of days, being a finite nature, and retaining all the properties of a real body. And though he hath by his resurrection given immortality to the same, and nevertheless he hath not changed the reality of his human nature, forasmuch as our salvation and resurrection also depend on the reality of his body. But these two natures are so closely united in one person that they were not separated even by his death. Therefore, that which he, when dying, commended into the hands of his Father was a real human spirit departing from his body. But in the meantime, the divine nature always remained united with the human, even when he lay in the grave, and the Godhead did not cease to be in him any more than it did when he was an infant, though it did not so clearly manifest itself for a while. Wherefore we confess that he is very God and very man, very God by his power to conquer death, and very man that he might die for us according to the infirmity of his flesh. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Henry and Colleen Van Harten, who were blessed with the birth of a daughter on Tuesday. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when it is pleased thee in thy mercy to gather us and our children within the walls of thy house of prayer, and when we attempt with our unclean lips to draw unto thee who are so majestic, high and lifted up, glorious, good-doing, ever faithful, may it please thee to grant the spirit of prayer and supplication. Ah, Lord, thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The needs are manifold, many temporal needs, and the greatest need is the need for our never-dying soul, ah, Lord, that it is so necessary continually, each time by renewal, that thou binds divine realities upon all our hearts, that thou art that great God that dwelleth in the heavens, that looketh down upon the children of men. who have turned from thee in their deep fall in paradise, and by nature renew thy choice, by their actual sins unable and unwilling to turn unto thee. And to that end, our only hope and expectation is in thee alone, the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Ghost. And then thou granteth this time of grace unto us and our children, that we may be prepared to meet thee. Then we do well continually to examine our hearts, how the matter stands between us and thee. Because shall it be well, then we need to be reconciled and to be given to experience that sweet communion, Lord, with thee. Then it is a special week of examination and preparation, where when thou granteth the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ, as shall be administered in the midst of the congregation, and then the guests, thou hast given unto us thy precious testimony. Those guests are described. And then we need to examine our hearts and our lives, whether we are excluded or included. Ah, Lord, thou hast a people that need light from above, a people that is so dependent to receive that thirsting and hungering after righteousness, but also for the fulfillment. Then it is so needful that for thy true children that they are given to see in the light of thy holy word what they have received by thy grace, but also be given to see and hear what they yet miss. And now it is the work of the Spirit, O the bride. Come thou north wind, and blow thou south wind upon my garden, that the spices may flow forth. And then it is the work of the Holy Spirit to uncover thy church to their lost and deplorable condition, to come to the end of the law, and to reveal thy dear Son as Jesus, who has come to save his people from their sins. And let there be no rest outside of that only name which thou hast given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. And now for the strengthening of that people, thou hast instituted the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the signs and the seals, the broken bread and the poured out wine, where he is white, where he is ruddy, where he is altogether lovely. And to that end, the psalmist has said, in thy light we see light. May thy people be given to earnestly beg of thee for a token, for direction, for a drawing, to examine whether we have a wedding garment merited and given by thee and embraced by the arms of faith. When there is a building upon sandy foundations, graciously uncover it, and, O Lord, do convert the unconverted. Fill them with thy spirit, with the holy jealousy and a living cry and desire for thee and thy blessed communion. Do bless the means of grace in the family circles, in the church, and in the Christian school. We commend thy church unto thee all over the earth, the established churches, the persecuted church mission work, and the beloved for the Father's sake. Thou wast gladdened a father and mother for the third time in their married life with the birth of a little child. May they be humbled and become small under thy goodness, and may the prayers be multiplied for the salvation of that child. We commend unto thee all the expectant families. Do remember the barren ones. And then we commend also unto thee grandparents, great-grandparents, the great-grandmother in the hospital. Thou wast given some improvement, but there are still many concerns. May the means be further blessed, the calling sanctified. We commend unto thee the mother that had another arm treatment. The doctor somewhat encouraged, ah, Lord, may it be blessed indeed. Wilt thou grant courage, make the pain bearable. Remember together with husband and with children. And so we commend unto thee all the sick and afflicted ones undergoing treatments. Remember those that suffer from depression, where it all seems so dark, so black, so impossible, ah, Lord. Wilt thou remember them together with their loved ones in a special way? We remember all the mourning ones in our midst. May also the number of spiritual mourners, may they be greatly increased. May there come much spiritual mourning out of the loss of dear ones. We remember all the elderly ones. Commend unto the prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Remember land and country. Lord, we humbly ask thee, do open thy precious word. Do open our mouth and open our hearts. May thou dwell richly amongst us. May it be a good evening, a profitable evening. Could it be an unforgettable evening? May many hearts be touched. Oh, may there be amongst us whose heart begin to burn concerning the things of the Lord. Give a little rest in thy house. Bind the devil fast. And pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 71, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Jehovah is my light and my salvation near. Who shall my soul affright or cause my heart to fear? and what follows Psalter 71, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
And this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, what you can find in Psalm 27 and thereof the fourth verse, where God's word and our text reads thus: "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." Our text words speak of the vehement desire of the exercised church of Jesus Christ, expressed by David, with four thoughts. In the first place, the context of this desire. Secondly, the preeminence of this desire. Thirdly, the proof of this desire. And in the fourth place, the twofold intention with this desire. The vehement desire of the exercised church of Jesus Christ, expressed by David. The context of this desire. The preeminence of this desire. The proof of this desire. And the twofold intention in this desire. Beloved congregation, we read over this psalm of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, that was given to fear the Lord from the womb. But for David, there have also been many a trial and many a trouble. How often the Lord leads his true child for them such mysterious ways, and not from the Lord's side, because he is too good to be unkind and too wise to err. And the living child of God can know those truths. But when they are led in those deep pathways through deep waters, then how they are given to examine themselves, whether they are indeed a living child of God. It is clear in this solemn from the latter verses that it was in a time of trials and persecution. And then it is clear from this psalm that David had a religion which was profitable, and not only in prosperity, but also in the way of adversity, because young and old, we need a religion that is profitable. We read it in the first Lord's Day of our Heidelberg Catechism, of that comfort for life and death. We need a religion. We need the fear of the Lord. And that shall also have value when we come to the end of our journey and called to meet our God. And now in the context, then David, in the exercise of faith, and then he was given to confess who the Lord has become, who the Lord was, who the Lord is, and who the Lord shall remain, because he has begun, "The Lord is my light." Christ is called the light of the world in John 8-12. And as a fruit, the Lord is the light for his people. Therefore, that church, they are also given to radiate light. There are the Jewish expositors, because it is not written in the subscription. When this psalm was exactly written, but there are Jewish expositors that perhaps think that it was written, what we read in 2 Samuel 21, the verses 15 through 17. "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him, and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint." Are there a few faint souls in my midst that know it no more? Perhaps have thought former times, but now such darkness. David has experienced much, wax faint, and then we read, "And Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David." Those are not strange matters for the living child of God. Afraid. All come to an end. Do we not read in Isaiah 42 verse 3 of that smoking flax? But then we read, "But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel." There the fellow soldiers, the soldiers under David, have called David a great light. Also for examination and preparation, then what a preacher we have in the sky in this evening hour. David, the psalmist, has said in Psalm 8 verse 3, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" And I read in the Song of Solomon 6 verse 10 that the church, it is declared that she is fair as the moon. And then also in a week of preparation for the church, Oh, then in this evening, then the moon may shine so brightly and so clearly. But the moon has no light of itself. The boys and girls know it. Where does the moon receive that light from? Then you shall say, from the sun. And so it is with the church, no light of themselves. Oh, boys and girls, when we look at the moon, then we also see those shady dark spots. And that is not strange for the church. But now the church receives its light from the Son of Righteousness. And now it is necessary for the child of God that by the Holy Spirit they are brought to that knowledge of the Savior for the pardoning of their sins. Christ has said, do this in remembrance of me. How is it with their moon? Not always the same. A waxing moon, a full moon, a waning moon can also be what an instruction. When the earth comes in between, then the moon is eclipsed. But now David has said, the Lord is my light and the living church. They shall be given to reflect that light. Of course, the moon cannot see the moon, but the people on earth, they do. And the full moon, that is much influence upon the earth, the tides. And even those that have children or elderly ones entrusted unto them, then sometimes they tell us, can tell, when it is full moon. What a privilege and what a blessing it is. The Lord is my light, and the necessity to be brought to a saving knowledge of the source of that light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. That word salvation that speaks of deliverance. And concerning salvation, then we read in Matthew 1 verse 21, for thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. And in that way that he saves, that is declared at the table of the covenant with the broken bread and the poured out wine. And therefore, upon the exercise of that faith, that knowledge, whom shall I fear? And then to add to it, then David was given to say, the Lord is the strength of my life. Thus given to meditate upon the almighty power of the Lord. Do we not read in Psalm 89, verse 19, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. And to that end, David, those are blessed reflections. It is needful, profitable, to be given to reflect upon the past. And therefore, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me, thus that speaks of the past, to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Same thing has happened in John 18, verse 6, when they came to arrest the Savior. Then they have literally stumbled and fell, and they have fallen backwards. Thus, in verse 1, David is given to speak of the present. In verse 2, of the past. And in verse 3, hope for the future. And that is so necessary and profitable for the church of God. Also so necessary and profitable in a week of preparation. Church of God, how is it in that respect? Do we have to all go to the past? How long has it been to receive a special blessing, a special word? But now in a week of preparation, the Lord is not a land of outer darkness. And that is declared in our text, to have those lively desires for the present, to receive tokens of his favor, no, not to come with anything of self to the Lord's Supper. The church learns more and more. It is all of grace. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross of Christ I cling. Our second point, the preeminence of this desire. Because then we read in our text, one thing have I desired of the Lord. And we read in the scriptures that the living have desires. The Lord in a special way. Remember those that are subject to depression, together with their dear ones, where it seems those desires, they come so low, everything can seem so dark and so impossible, then a blessing when we have courage and desires. But now David, and that is after meditating upon whom the Lord is, who the Lord was, and who the Lord shall be. We read in our text one thing. We read those two words also in other places in God's word. In Joshua 23, at the end of his life, in the fourth verse, then two times, then Joshua was given to relate to the children of Israel that not one thing had failed of the words that the Lord had spoken concerning bringing the children of Israel into that promised land. And now with everything which David has expressed in the first three verses, then he was given to speak of one thing which he desired of the Lord. A blessed place to be also in a week of preparation. Where did that one desire come from? It comes from above. Work of the Holy Spirit to give that desire in beginning, to enliven those desires, to sustain those desires, and to renew them. Also need of much prayer in that respect. One thing. there are many desires upon the earth. And then we shall not speak of all the sinful desires, places of vanity, places of wickedness. Oh, think of Psalm 84, verse 10. Rather to be a doorkeeper at the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Also many lawful desires for young and old, desires that we are called to lay before the Lord with a free conscience. And then we also do well when we lay our desires before the Lord. Is it now all for self? Or is there also something or much for the Lord, for His glory, and for the kingdom of Jesus Christ? But now David, in this text word, then he is given to speak of one desire. That was the desire, that was the biggest desire, boys and girls, uppermost in his mind and in his life. And now there can be special and specific desires in our life. Maybe if we would go from person to person, from the children, and ask, is there now a special desire, our young people, maybe those that are somewhat older, a special lawful desire? But now we do well to examine whether we have something in our heart of that desire of King David. And then that one desire, that one thing which David desired, that overshadowed and was also part of all other desires. Because when the church, also with their other desires, when they may be much exercised with the Lord, with their soul, with the things of the Lord, then they are in their element. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Ah, what an examination in this evening. Let us lay our heart beside it. To make it simple, boys and girls, then we are speaking of one thing that is most important, one thing that we desire, one thing that we are given to ask continually for, one thing that would give us the most joy, one thing that would give us the most thanksgiving. And that one thing is, boys and girls, you know it. This clearly written, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. So that was the desire of David. The church, the house of God, has become a very special place for David. Has that also taken place in our life? That the Lord and everything that pertains to the Lord but also the house of God, that it has become a very special place, unforgettable times, where in the house of God, our heart for a people who could not declare themselves, their heart was declared to experience special tokens of the Lord's favor, an Elam to receive a little rest. And then David is called it in the house of the Lord. When we think of the saints in the Bible, then oftentimes when the Lord has come, they were filled with awe, with reverence. Many times the Lord or his messenger had to say, "Be not afraid." And concerning the house of the Lord, because do we not read in Matthew 18, verse 20, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." When the Lord grants an impression, and may the Lord grant it more, also to his church, profound impressions of whom the Lord is, high and lifted up, so majestic, so glorious, so holy, so merciful, and that together with an impression that we are little creatures of the dust, and what else? Sinful creatures that have left that great God in paradise. Oh, when the Lord grants an impression thereof, then there shall be that reverence. Leviticus 26, verse 2, "Shall keep my Sabbath day and reverence my sanctuary." Psalm 89, verse 7, "God is greatly to be reverenced in the midst of the saints." Thus the house of the Lord. Oh, what a blessing and what a privilege. The house of the Lord, where in his word the Lord has given instruction, direction, concerning what must take place in his house. The word, the sacraments, discipline, and the Lord is jealous, the Lord Jesus Christ, the beginning of his ministry, and also at the end, he has cleansed the temple. Perhaps the question is asked, because it was a psalm of David, and we read in our text, the house of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple, then maybe there are children that say, but when David was living, the temple was not yet built. It's only the tabernacle. Then you have paid good attention. But also in David's time already, the tabernacle was called the temple, because in Psalm 5, verse 7, also a psalm of David, "But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy and in thy fear." It's that profound reverence and fear for the Lord, for his institutions. "Will I worship toward thy holy temple." Thus already in David's time, then the tabernacle was also called the temple. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. And at the end, it is called his temple. And what was now the reason for that desire? Oh, a blessing. Ah, the Lord as a people. Also in a week of preparation. This is not myself. In the living church, they cannot always live of that old manna. And reflecting about desires in the days or even years gone by. Because church, let us remember, the Lord is not a land of outer darkness. But now the need for those lively, present desires to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, to beg the Lord for a burning heart, because we hope to hear in the house of the Lord in his temple, there are glorious things displayed. And now David did not desire to come to the house of the Lord to be seen or to see who else was there, or because it was custom, form, and duty. And it is our duty. Even when there is not that desire, then we must come to God's house that we may receive that desire. For the unconverted, for the first time, because this also hidden and obscure for the natural man, the beauty of the house of the Lord, but then to come to the house of God, to never leave our place unlawfully empty, to receive that desire for the first time, but also by renewal, how often it has happened for a poor, a needy, a troubled soul, fainting as David. They knew the way no more, maybe even thought once more to God's house. And then with the first Psalter, then that heart was stirred up with those lively desires. Oh, when they may sing the praises of the Lord and in the Psalms to hear the condition of their heart. But now we read of that tabernacle, very special things. In Exodus 25, verse 22, there the Lord has given a special promise to his people concerning that tabernacle. But they had to come. It's not a promise for them. If they would remain unlawfully home, no promise. But a promise, when they would come, then the Lord has declared to Moses, when he was on the mount, concerning the construction of the tabernacle, which he would relay to the children of Israel, and there I will meet with thee. Thus the Lord has promised that at the tabernacle that he would meet with them. People of God, what a precious promise. What a privilege, that lively desire to meet with my God in the house of God. What a blessed desire concerning the Lord's Supper. It is a royal command, it is true, but not custom and duty. But one desire also concerning the sacrament, to meet with the Lord, to receive instruction, and the Lord has even said, and I will commune with thee, sweet communion, Lord, with thee. Thus that desire of David, one thing have I desired, that includes much. And how is it now possible that that great and majestic God can meet with his child, commune with them? That the Lord has also stated. Commune with thee from above the mercy seat. Boys and girls, you know it. On the great day of atonement, then the blood was sprinkled on that mercy seat. Oh, commune through the broken bread and the poured out wine, and then further explained in Exodus 29, verse 42, there shall be a continual burnt offering at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet the children of Israel. Thus the Lord would meet the children at the door of the court. There were curtains, they were shoved abroad, boys and girls. And then the Lord has promised to meet his people at that brazen altar of burnt offerings. And we read in Leviticus that the fire always had to burn. Are there souls when the Lord works? Then we are exercised with that fire and with that altar. And that fire that requires a sacrifice. And the Lord works by a spirit, then we have much to do with that fire. Also with the Lord's mercy and long suffering. Oh, for an Israelite, when by renewal, that he was spared for another season and may make that journey to the tabernacle, and then by renewal to see that brazen altar of burnt offerings, the fire, and they were not consumed. The mercies of the Lord, that we are not consumed. Then his faithfulness was new every morning. But that altar that requires a sacrifice, are there such souls? Are there souls that know it no more? Oh, the fire. Not a strange matter. In the wood, that is my sin. That's why the fire burns. But needs to be extinguished. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Oh, what psalmist we hear, Psalm 42, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul, O living God, after thee. Oh, Psalm 63, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. We read in Mark 10, verse 21, also of one thing. That was that rich ruler. He was seeking. Because we can also be seeking in a religious way, but in a wrong way. Must they do to inherit eternal life? Keep the commandments, the second table. All these things have I done. Sell everything that thou hast. And then Jesus says, one thing thou lackest. What a close examination. And that one thing that is a matter of death and life. We need the work of the Holy Spirit. We need to be brought to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God and to embrace a sacrifice by faith. Our third thought, the proof of this desire, let us first sing. Psalter 398, the stanzas 1 and 2. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones bowed down with grief are helped by his most gracious hand. And what follows? 398, 1 and 2.
Thank you.
the heaven and desire of the exercised Church of Jesus Christ, expressed by David. The context, the preeminence, and now the proof of this desire. Then congregation, then we do well, each of us, to lay our hearts beside our text. One thing have I desired of the Lord, boys and girls. Has that now become our life? Has that now become the most important one thing? That is the Lord. And to receive a new heart that loves the Lord, that hates sin, and that needs to be washed in the precious blood. Young people, still a blessing when we are not given over to discouragement and despair, and that the Lord gives, may we be kept from sinful desires, lawful desires, biblical desires. But how is it now with our text? One thing have I desired of the Lord. Has the service of the Lord become a good service? Can we say before an all-knowing God, Lord, thou knowest all things. Ah, thou knowest all my sins. Thou knowest my heart. But Lord, thou knowest of that desire, the most important in my life, that thou may be my God. Oh, as a Ruth, thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Middle-aged ones, one thing have I desired of the Lord. As we become older, then we shall realize, as a former minister has said, our boys and girls can understand it, that a round world can never fill a triangular heart. Then there are always voids. But has it now become real? One thing. In Luke 10, we read those same words. And that was even spoken to that God-fearing Martha. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. What shall profit a man if we gain the whole world? If we could even own all of Lethbridge County, and her soul would go lost. Elderly ones, I read Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, when we become older, that the desire faileth. Many things become a burden. We think more of the past than of the future. But now the needful. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that people, they may tell the Lord, as Peter has told Jesus in John 21, verse 17, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And now our children can understand it. When we desire something, when we want something very badly, then we shall try to attain it. And that David has expressed, Balaam, in Numbers 23, verse 10, he has also exclaimed, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. But Balaam did not desire to live with the people. Can also be a seeking for a time. Maybe with some convictions, and then more or less it ebbs away. That can be the fear of the living child of God, the temporal nature. Can be very fervent. Think of Saul. Is Saul among the prophets? Another heart, not a new heart. But David, he was given to express in our text the earnestness. Martin Luther, also Jonathan Edwards, have stated in certain places that the way to hell is paved with good intentions. But now for a David, not only made a confession, but it was also evident in his life. And then he has plainly stated, that will I seek after. Repentance, confession of sin, prayer, using the means of grace. And those true seekers, special promises. Those that seek me early, they shall find me. And we do not have one example. May that be an encouragement for the true people of God, those true seekers. They have become finders. Oh, when we think of that seeking, oh, let us mention a few. Hannah. Oh, a barren Hannah. There's a church that understands it. A barren Hannah, pastored, unfruitful Peninnah as a type of the nominal Christendom, so fruitful. And then she went to the tabernacle, and there she has poured out her heart, told the Lord everything, Lord, thine handmaid, receive their petition. Think of that old Anna in Luke 2. Cease not from the temple day or night. Our forethought, the twofold intention with this desire. Then David had a special purpose, a reason to desire the courts of his God. The court, the tabernacle. And then he is stated in our text, and it is also written, all the days of my life, it's not now and then, but his whole life, that he would each time by renewal come to the temple, the house of the Lord. And then two special reasons. To behold the beauty of the Lord. Does not say the beauty of the temple. This, of course, included. And what was now the beauty of the Lord in the temple? The tabernacle. Oh, then we have mentioned the brazen altar, the fire that always had to burn, and then the beauty that was the sacrifices. typifying the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come in the fullness of time, who would place himself under his Father's judgment, who would suffer and die, and set us people free. Oh, white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000s. All the furniture, the brazen laver, the golden altar of incense, the golden candlestick, the golden table of showbread. Oh, the ark with the mercy seat, which would be sprinkled by blood. The high priest with his high priestly clothing, with the breastplate upon his heart, the stones upon his shoulders engraven with the 12 tribes of Israel. Oh, then the psalmist in Psalm 45, verse 2, then his heart was indicting a good matter. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured out upon thy lips. Then it was the beauty in the Old Testament. Oh, that was the sacrifices for the sinners. And therefore, it is needful in a week of preparation, those sweet meditations, those lively desires, accompanied with earnest prayer concerning the work, the meditorial work of Jesus Christ, humiliation, his exaltation, and his glorification, with the opening of the scriptures, what the broken bread and the poured out wine speaks of, and that for poor, for those that are sorrowful for their sins in the Old Testament. Of course, David was more privileged, living in the holy city of God, than those that lived at a distance. But then each time by renewal to come with a confession of sins and with a sacrifice, but further to inquire in his temple. So that means, when David's speaking of the church, that it is a church with questions, riddles, perplexities, souls at times that do not know the way anymore, question whether they really are on the way, questions concerning their faith, because the living child needs to be right, needs to be real. Matters need to be experienced. You need more than thoughts or feelings. They need matters that great, majestic God knows of through the beauty of the Lord. Oh, to inquire in his temple concerning the old things passing away, all become new. And Lord, I have such trouble with those old things. To inquire of the Lord, who are now the worthy partakers at the table of the covenant. Matters need to be experienced. Lord, what is now a wedding garment? And therefore, to inquire in his temple, one thing have I desired of the Lord. And then in the tabernacle, is all declared in the holy place. The golden candlestick, his prophetical office. Ah, the Lord as a people, times that do not know it anymore. Lord, draw me, and we will run after thee. Lord, make those desires lively, and not to come with those desires to merit. Ah, that people are so bound in the covenant of works, to learn more and more that it is grace and grace only, the table of showbread, the kingly office. O David, also in the midst of the persecution and enemies, then in the tabernacle to receive a little rest and to behold that kingly office, but above all, the beauty of the Lord. And that is now so richly and beautiful portrayed in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the signs, the seals, the broken body of Christ, his poured out blood, all to inquire in his temple, because the Spirit teaches his true people that with that lively desire, it is a privilege and a blessing. What a blessing when it may be sustained, renewed, can become so still. But the Spirit teaches how lively those desires may be, and they shall not be missed. There was a Reverend Plumer of a former age that he has stated in a certain place that the harps of the true children of God, they must be turned, tuned to the service of the Lord, that they may be prepared to enter eternity. But now the Spirit teaches that all those desires, all those marks, that they cannot satisfy justice. That is what the Spirit teaches his true people. That with those desires, with that choice, they cannot be missed, they shall not be missed. But, to make it simple for the boys and girls, in the olden days, a weigh scale, a balance, and then you put something in the one side and something in the other side. And then for the church, with all their desires, their good choice, their experiences, it cannot balance God's justice. God's justice requires perfection. And that is now the beauty of the Lord. May it please the Lord to grant something of what we have heard out of our text. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee to grant those lively desires all where it is missed. Wilt thou work it for the first time, but also necessary, sustained, and renewed. And then in a week of preparation to be exercised with the beauty of the Lord, the work of a triune God. But thou hast said, do this in remembrance of me. It concerns a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, that he has become necessary, suitable, and precious, Lord. Wilt thou remember us, give a prayer for one another, return us to our dwellings, and may we be given to meet one another at thy throne of grace, but also on the coming Sabbath day, Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 69, let us only sing 1 and 4. Be thou my judge, O righteous Lord, try thou my inmost heart. I walk with steadfast trust in thee, nor from thy ways depart. And what follows, Psalter 69, only 1 and 4. Blessing of the Lord, and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.